Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FC North, baby! And yeah, the Bengals are back in the mix. One more again on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We start out in Cincinnati, in Moe Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. And Moe, why didn't they trade Andy Dalton if they aren't going to play him?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know why this team just shows a complete refusal to do anything that'll jumpstart the franchise. And that would involve trading Andy Dalton. That would involve trading A.J. Green. It would involve trading Geno Atkins. It would involve basically trading anybody on this roster for next to anything, and they didn't do it. And instead, you know, I don't believe Andy Dalton's thrown his last pass as Bengals quarterback, namely because of the games remaining in the season, the fact that Ryan Finley's going to play behind an awful offensive line. The smart money is on Andy Dalton playing at some point this season. But, you look at the Chicago Bears. I would have maybe not given Andy Dalton away, but I would have done whatever I could to try to get something of value for him, and that would have been the first place I looked.
Mo, the thing I don't understand, there's a lot of things I don't understand about that right now, and you're exactly right, you hit the nail on the head, but in Cleveland, we've had so many fan mutinies against the Browns over the years. Is that going on in Cincinnati right now, or are they resigned? Are they apathetic? Where are they right now?
It's apathy. I mean, it's rampant.
For
apathy,
a football team,
you do not want apathy. I've been there.
No, it's the worst. You know, when anger was kind of the main theme, you know, at least people cared. This is apathy. Look, everything the Bengals do is occurring against the backdrop of, you know, as you guys probably well know, they're in a bad stadium deal with the county here. It expires in 2026. This is a franchise that has flirted with moving before.
Whoa.
And, yeah, I mean, look, as much as people don't want to talk about it, the future of this franchise in Cincinnati is maybe not the most pressing issue, but it's not exactly on the back burner. This is going to become a front and center thing, and you have folks who, when they voted to build the current stadium 23 years ago, could not have imagined Cincinnati without the Bengals, and now I think they would almost embrace this city without the Bengals.
Oh, wait, the fans? No.
It's a football team. I'm telling you, come on down here. Listen to my callers. It sounds crazy,
I'm
among those who think that bad football is better than no football, but you can find no shortage of people who have said, my Sundays are no longer spent living and dying with the Cincinnati Bengals. I've moved on from them.
Now, we've talked about a lost generation of Browns fans over the years. It's never gotten to that, though. It's never gotten to that point. I mean, man, what do? They just root for Ohio State there? They get ready for college basketball?
They gamble on the NFL. They root for their fantasy football teams. They follow players from Ohio State or the University of Cincinnati. There's the thing about the NFL, it's a lot easier to follow. I have friends in St. Louis who have said this. It's a lot easier to follow and enjoy, in some cases, when you don't have a team that disappoints you every single week and every single year. It is a franchise that has exhausted every bit of goodwill that it had built up in the middle of a decade,
man,
and that it had, you know, used to have back in the 80s. It doesn't exist. And so,
Mo, you got to talk. You got to talk to those fans. You really got to talk them off that ledge. That's a scary proposition.
Why? No, I don't have to do that.
Well,
the Bengals have to get them back.
I know
that's
that,
not
but
on me.
Now wait a minute.
That's
now
on the Cincinnati Bengals to get back, and when they don't do anything, you can't get them back.
Well, Mo, I didn't mean to upset you here, but man, I mean, I'm up here. I'm up here, and we've been in a city where the team has been ripped away. Buddy, that is a dangerous consequence. That is a scary proposition. I can't. Where would they move to? St. Louis? Is that what you're saying?
First of all, do we really believe the NFL wants a team in Cincinnati? Let me help you with that. They don't. So. Look, before the Browns moved to Baltimore, Mike Brown went there in 1993. We've done this before. And it unfortunately resulted in you guys losing your team. And I agree, the effects of that for a lot of us would be devastating. But it's problematic when you're in a publicly financed stadium. You're benefiting from the most lopsided stadium agreement in all of sports. It has been a drain on the public. A drain on the public for a county that can't afford it. The lease is up. The team faces an uncertain future. There's no guarantee that they're going to be here in 2027. Good luck getting people to be enthusiastic about forking over another few billion dollars to the Cincinnati Bengals when they show no true desire to actually win. You mean to tell me you expect people to be enthusiastic about that?
No.
No. So yes, that is a part of the narrative here. And it, as much as it's you know, people who just love the football end of it don't like it when I bring that up, that is a thing. That is a thing. And the lost generation of fans, again, fans are voters. We voted for one stadium. It's going to be up to the politicians that we vote for to determine what the future of this team is going to be.
That's still a nice stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. And it's okay. It's functional. It's okay. But by current NFL standards, and certainly by mid-21st century standards, you know, it's already kind of outdated. You go to Indianapolis. You go to some of these places around the NFL. It needs upgrades. It's not up to par for what modern stadiums are becoming. They're going to have to renovate the place. We'll have to pay for that. Or they're going to have to move to a new stadium. The Bengals got us to pay for one. Again, good luck getting folks to be enthusiastic about either paying for another or paying for your renovations when, again, you show no true desire to win.
Well, Mo, enjoy the bye week. Have a good one, buddy.
Thank you, Mo.
This might be a preview of what life will be like in 2027.
Oh, my God. Oof. Mo, thank you, buddy. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530,
and remember,
with the possibility of the Cincinnati Bengals moving from Cincinnati.
And when you think we have it bad.
Yeah, a lot happens when you go microwave your breakfast over there. That's a surprise.
When you think we have it bad.
Oof. Oh, my God.
And they would not get a franchise back. I mean, if they left. If they moved, they're not getting a franchise back.
No, God, no. I asked
that's
about
it. It would go to Kentucky before it went back to Cincinnati.
That's it.
I asked about Andy Dalton, and it turned into the Bengals leaving. All right, Ken Weinman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Coming off a bye week, the Baltimore Ravens are. Find him on Twitter at Ken Weinman Sport on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. This week, big business, home against the New England Patriots, 8:20 Sunday night football. What are the spirits of the fan base going into that game, Ken?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm almost speechless from what I was listening to before I came on. That was awesome.
Don't you just kind of want to talk about the Bengals moving? I mean, right. That's terrible. That's terrible. I would not want that to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That was great listening to that. But the Ravens fans are very excited about the game Sunday night against the Patriots. The Ravens feel like, the fan base feels like they don't get home primetime games, and this is a home primetime game, so they're excited about that. And I don't know, you guys can tell me better than me. I watched a lot of the Browns-Patriots game, and I felt like if the Browns didn't turn the ball over, they were playing with the Patriots.
Well, yeah, I mean, we felt that way. It was in a driving rainstorm, and overall, they just got down 17-0. So it was ugly early. With that said, now they're three games behind you guys. And I'm telling you, the morale of our fan base after that Seattle game was bad. If you guys end up beating the Patriots in that game, they're going to be despondent right here. I can just tell you already, because we just had a vicious two-week debate about how good Lamar Jackson is.
Well, I'm looking forward to Sunday night because I think they're going to add some stuff to the offense. This is part of the evolution of Lamar Jackson. And I think we're going to see more this Sunday, plus stuff that they haven't shown before. I think Hollywood Brown will be back this Sunday. He missed the last two games, and he got the bye week off. So they get their deep threat back in the game. I think you'll see him heavily involved in the offense. And this is just going to be an interesting game because as that New England Patriots defense is fantastic, but I think it's overshadowing the fact that their offense isn't very good. So this is going to be one of those games where, like I said on the air last night, if the Ravens don't turn the ball over, I think they can win this football game.
Ken Weinman joining us on the hotline. I was not really impressed with your defense until that game at Seattle. I thought they showed up in a big way. Marcus Peters was huge, obviously, in that game. Is the sentiment in Baltimore from the coaching staff that that defense is getting better throughout the season?
Well, the last couple weeks, the last 2 or 3 weeks, if you look at the stats, they got better. I thought the interesting thing is until the Peters pick six, I wasn't thrilled with how the defense was playing, and that play kind of flipped the game. In the second half, they played very well, even getting a bit of a pass rush. They only sacked Russell Wilson once, but they hit him 8 times, and they made him uncomfortable, which is something that in early in the season especially, they weren't making quarterbacks feel uncomfortable at all, and that's a big thing, especially with a guy like Tom Brady. If you can get some push up the middle and make him move, you can make him uncomfortable. Yes, to long story short, the defense, I think, has gotten better. I think fans thought they were going to trade for a pass rusher yesterday, but there were no trades made except for the Tlaib salary dump yesterday.
Ken, we thank you very much, and we will be talking to you coming up next week. A lot of things going right in Baltimore. We now head to Pittsburgh, where some things did go right. They did win on Monday night against Miami, and to talk about it and to talk about their future as they play Indianapolis this coming weekend, we welcome in Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, at the Pony Express on Twitter.
Pony, were you one of the many that were just booing as loud as you could in the first half? I mean, that was embarrassing. Come on, Pony. You can't boo your new quarterback.
No, I was on my couch. I was doing duck calls, actually, Anthony.
Oh, come on.
At that point in the game, I did not boo Mason Rudolph. I agree. I think the fans should have been chanting first round grade. That's what the Steelers allegedly had on Mason Rudolph when they picked him in the third round. They should have been inspiring him. They should have been motivating him. They should have been defending him. They should have been supporting him in that situation.
It was ugly, though. I'm not gonna lie. I went to bed and I couldn't believe when I woke up that he put up those numbers. What happened? Did anything change, or was it just the Miami Dolphins are terrible?
It was the most egregious form of a team giving up on a game. They took a dive. It was like Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction with that fight where he was supposed. Well, I guess in that case he was supposed to take a dive and he didn't. So that analogy doesn't really work.
Nope,
I just
sucks.
Pulp Fiction,
try again.
So I brought it up. Yeah, they that 3rd and 20 play, they all out blitzed and they left Deontay Johnson wide open. There wasn't a corner within 15 yards of him. And then Xavien Howard all of a sudden doesn't play the second half. Now he's got some phony baloney knee injury that's going to cost him the rest of the year.
Phony baloney. Whoa, phony baloney.
Well, that's
injury.
Reckless speculation. Hold
that's
on, Pony.
Reckless.
We got to play this.
Yes,
we can't let you get away with
not.
That. We'll get a cease and desist.
You're not getting me. No, I'm not going to be in a lawsuit for you. Tell me about the quote-unquote phony baloney knee injury here.
All of a sudden, he quits on a play, a big touchdown. He doesn't play in the second half. The team doesn't want to win any games. They're playing competitive football. They're close. They've got to come up with the worst two-point conversion call in NFL history to make sure they lose to the Redskins. And then they got up too many points against the Steelers. They call timeout. They go from a prevent defense to an all-out blitz, and they give up an automatic touchdown. It was insane. If I were Roger Goodell, I would be investigating the Dolphins right now because I think that they are messing with the integrity of the NFL.
Well, you were just a flamethrower.
How much did you bet on that game?
Yeah.
I had the Dolphins plus 14, so I won, Lima.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay. I was just curious. All right, Andrew Filippone joining us on the hotline. A couple quick things here. Look, that we always kind of pay attention to Joe Hayden. He looked like he got just absolutely torched in the first half of that game. How good is this Steelers defense? Is it good enough to make up for what you might not have at quarterback?
Yes, it is, because the middle of the AFC is so average. I don't see any good teams. I don't see many great units, and I think the Steelers defense is turning into one. Minka Fitzpatrick had 2 more interceptions. They've actually forced more takeaways this year than they did all of last season. P.J. Watt plays like an all-pro. Bud Dupree doesn't look like a bust right now. And Devin Bush might end up being the defensive rookie of the year. So I think outside of New England and San Francisco, there's a case to be made right now that the Steelers, talent-wise, have the third-best defense in the NFL.
All right, Pony Express, I'll see you in hell at the Pony Express on Twitter with an I, and that is around the AFC North. All guests appearing on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Can I just need to take like 3 minutes on what Mo Egger said when we come back. I need to do that.
Okay, Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.